You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we kick off the show with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. It's been a very interesting day of movements, mostly to the positive side. I'm joined on the line by Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, Chantal Marks, to take a look at the market movements throughout the day and see if we can make sense of them. Good evening, Chantal. Lovely to speak to you again. Before we get started on the markets, do you think having the Cullinan Diamond back in the possession of South Africa would have any benefits for South Africa?
I don't know. I think it might have a mental benefit for South Africans. But apart from that, I mean, perhaps you can put it in a museum. I'm not sure if anyone will come and look at it. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think if we have to look at the sale of diamonds, I'd like for South Africa to have the diamond back with the option to sell it so that we can at least make some money off of it. We didn't make money off of it the first time. Maybe we can make money off of it the second time. If there is still a demand for natural diamonds, I suppose, we are now moving into a lab-grown diamond kind of world. So very interesting. Perhaps we should speak to our friends at De Beers about this one of these days. Chantal, let's look at the movements throughout the day. It's been a very interesting day because we are in the midst, quite literally in the middle of the United States elections, and you'd think that markets would be a bit uncertain, a bit volatile about what's happening, but it kind of looks like markets are saying, while we don't know the result, we're going to have a good day, and then as the result comes back, we'll self-correct afterwards.
So if you look at the graph of the day, as you see today, it was actually quite volatile. It was up and down. And at one point around 4 p.m., the market was actually flat for the day. And then it pushed higher when the U.S. market opened quite enthusiastically. And the thing we need to understand about volatility is that it moves both ways, right? You can be in a holding pattern or a wait and see pattern, and that can result in a negative market movement, or it can result in a positive market movement. And volatility implies lots of movement. So I think we're still in a holding pattern, a volatile holding pattern. Today, it just ended up being a positive, volatile day.
Chantal, how do we prepare for the outcome of the elections? I mean, the volatility aspect of it is definitely something that's going to cause bigger swings than what we might expect. And from a South African perspective, we kind of have an idea of which is our preferred candidate who might be a little less anti-Africa or a little less pro-America first. And it's very clear from the Republican and the Democrat standpoint how they navigate those international conversations. Are we expecting that the volatility for the rest of the week or even for the rest of the next couple of hours is something to be materially worried about if you're a South African investor in South African markets?
So I don't think so necessarily. What tends to happen with elections is that you might get some volatility going into elections and then a big reaction post the result based on what the market thinks the candidate is going to do, what the positioning is going to be. But ultimately, and particularly in US elections, because of the structure of their politics, it's actually very difficult to really push through meaningful, game-changing rule changes or legislation. It takes a really long time as well for things to actually start happening to that effect. So my thinking is whatever the outcome, we'll get that initial market reaction, and then things should start moving in the way that the macroeconomic environment is dictating and that the broader geopolitical environment is dictating and that economic growth globally is dictating. So it should be, there will be a short-term reaction. And the way that you prepare yourself for that is to make sure that when you are going into these periods of uncertainty, you have some powder dry, because inevitably when you have these big moves, there will be short-term mispricings and you could actually take advantage of opportunities that may have not been there prior to the event actually taking place.
Chantal, when we look at some of the local counters, I mean, resources fighting back today as well, 1.3% or so in the green. At some point, this wasn't the case recently as well. I mean, as recently as Friday, I think back, we had a rather bearish day on the resources sector. How are we kind of faring? I mean, platinum pricing has been struggling along, trying to get above that $1,000 an ounce level, keep its head above that level. Palladium pricing as well. We got up to 1250. We're down back at 1,000. And 80 or so. How do we make sense of the resources sector, or at least the commodities spaces, reacting to the other volatility that exists in the market?
So with the resources sector, you have the specific drivers of demand for each of these industrial metals. And the depending on what the company is actually exposed to, that is how the share price will react. What I really like when things are quite uncertain, especially when the growth outlook is a little bit more uncertain, is to look at the diversified miners, because then you kind of hedge yourself, because not all of these commodity prices necessarily move in exactly the same way. With the platinum sector or the PGMs, I think it's quite interesting the types of moves that we're seeing. So we have seen a little bit of a base forming on the price for PGMs, and similarly for the PGM stocks as well. And I think investors are willing it higher, and that's why you see a lot of enthusiasm when we do see a bit of an increase in underlying PGM prices in those stocks. But I think that we still need that demand catalyst, kind of certainty that we are seeing a turn in the automotive sector, the demand is going to improve for vehicles, for internal combustion vehicles, for hybrid vehicles, because that's where PGMs are very important. And then for gold, it's also the gold price will be supported, I think, at least for the next year because of geopolitics. We are still seeing loads of central bank buying. We're now starting to see investors getting involved in the exchange-traded funds. So the miners on that side, I think, should continue to do quite well.
Chantal, speaking of those diversified miners that you like so much, Sibanye gave us an update on their performance. I think it was a production update for Q3. Did we see anything surprising there? I mean, the share price has been under pressure for quite some time, and they obviously benefit greatly from an increased kind of share price or increased platinum price. Did we get any surprises from that update?
So firstly, they're the least diversified miner because they basically only have exposure to PGMs and gold. But I think that in that update, they showed that the PGM business is actually faring slightly better than what the market was expecting, particularly from a profitability perspective. And the expectation is that if it's more profitable than expected, cash flows could be better than expected, and the balance sheet won't be as stretched as we know that balance sheet is. I'm a little bit more circumspect. I think that balance sheet could still be under a lot of pressure. And what was a little bit disappointing to me from Sibanye's update was the gold portion of their portfolio. It is quite small. The mines are quite marginal. But when gold prices are high, these mines should be pumping. And it does seem as if profitability missed the mark there because of higher operating costs. So that's kind of a bit of a concern for me. But I think the share has been very cheap. It's been very much sold off. And perhaps the share price movement today, up over 10%, reflecting relief that it's not as bad as expected on the PGM front.
One of these days, Chantal, you and I are going to discuss the discount or the disassociation between the way the companies perform and the way the commodities perform. But that's a story for another conversation because it certainly needs more time. I want to look at the Rand quickly while we do still have time. It's holding steady against the US dollar at the moment, sitting below 17 Rand 50. We know that in times of uncertainty and all of that, this last couple of years as well, at least, the dollar has been a kind of a safe haven currency. And going into the US election, we did see the dollar index come off quite a bit, but it can just as quickly come back if the outcome of the election is a desired outcome or a favorable outcome, depending on which side of the market you sit on. Are we expecting the Rand to continue to strengthen at the moment, or will the outcome of the election potentially send us back towards 18 Rand?
So fundamentally speaking, the Rand should be strengthening. But as you rightly mentioned, during times of stress and volatility, there does tend to be a flight to safety to the US, even if the US is the source of the volatility and uncertainty. It's just the way that our markets work. And if there is a confusion outcome in the US. So very similar to what we had the last election cycle, where you kind of there had to be election reruns for senators, and the one candidate is saying that they actually won the whole thing, and that kind of scenario, you will see the dollar strengthening quite a bit, and we could see some near-term rand weakness, and significantly so. I think in the event of a Trump presidency, the expectation is also that the dollar could temporarily strengthen. But I think in both of those scenarios, you will eventually see things return back to the fundamentals, very similar to what I said around the markets as well. You'll have the short-term impact and then a return to the fundamentals. And fundamentally speaking, I think the rand should be a little bit stronger.
The rand should be stronger. Whether or not it continues to get stronger remains to be seen. We'll see how that shapes up and how that unfolds. But for now, we've run out of time. Thanks so much, Chantal, as always, for the insights and for the time. That's Chantal Marks, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, on the market movements on a US election day and what could potentially continue to drive markets going forward for the rest of the week.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.